And we're going to hear from God's word in Scripture from 1 Peter chapter 5.
And now, a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the suffering of Christ. And I too will share his glory and his honour when he returns. As a fellow elder, this is my appeal to you. Care for the flock of God entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned into your care, but lead them by your good example. And when the head shepherd comes, your reward will be a never-ending share in his glory and honour. You younger men, accept the authority of the elders, and all of you serve each other in humility, for God sets himself against the proud, but he shows favour to the humble. So humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and in his good time he will honour you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. Be careful. Watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls round like a roaring lion, looking for some victim to devour. Take a firm stand against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. After you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power is his forever and ever. Amen. I have written this short letter to you with the help of Silas, whom I consider a faithful brother. My purpose in writing is to encourage you and assure you that the grace of God is with you, no matter what happens. Your sister church here in Rome sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet each other in Christian love. Peace be to all of you who are in Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Bev. This morning we are thinking about leadership as a church. We, of course, have our leadership election at the end of the service today. And by one of these coincidences that happen, or maybe it's not quite coincidence, today we also are thinking from the Bible in terms of leadership, as Peter takes some time to address the leaders of the churches that he is writing to. And also perhaps the younger leaders. It's not clear when he talks to the younger people whether he means younger people in general or whether he actually means the younger leaders within the church. But really, we're all leaders. I think that's where we have to start. Every time we do anything, we are inviting people to copy what we do. Anytime we do anything or don't do anything, we are helping to set the tone for how things are going to be around us. So if anybody has copied you, congratulations, you are a leader. And in the church, we are looking for people who will lead, people who love the Lord, people who know what it is to love other people, people who really engage with this whole idea that, as Peter says in this letter, above all, we are to love one another deeply. We want leaders who know what it is to serve. As it says in the Bible reading today, leaders are to be people who are eager to serve other people. We're looking for people who care for others, people who are kind to others, and people who are real about themselves as well, because good leaders are not perfect. It talks about receiving a crown in our Bible reading today. Perhaps that could be a bit misleading to us, because when we hear the word crown, we mostly think of royalty. But in the first century, they wouldn't have been thinking so much about kings and queens. They would be thinking about athletes. And in the races that they had in those days, the winner was given this crown that was put on their heads. It wouldn't be made of metal, it would have been made of laurel. So Paul's picture here, sorry, Paul, Peter wrote this, didn't he? Peter's picture here is that on the great day when Jesus is revealed and Peter has been stressing all the way through this letter. This is our great hope. This is what we are looking forward to. Let that be the thing that dominates your thinking. On the day when Jesus is revealed, Peter says, it's like I'm going to burst through that finishing tape and I want the Lord to put that crown on my head that shows that I've been the victor. And there is nothing wrong with wanting that sort of crown. It's not so good if you want other people to think you're special. It's not so good if you want other people to think you're good. But to say, I want to live for the day that when Jesus is revealed and he will recognize what it is that I have done for him. So if you know any leaders like that, my advice is that you copy them. I'm not saying necessarily copy what they do. I mean, just because they're a great musician won't make you a great musician or whatever gift it is they happen to have. No, but I am saying learn from their character. Try to imitate the sort of people that they are. You know, we want to imitate Jesus, but there are people who can honestly say, I'm doing my best to imitate Jesus. And because I am trying to imitate Jesus, it's okay for you to imitate me. That's what good leadership looks like within the church. Let's not waste our example copying examples that are not worth following. You know, it's always easy to find somebody in the church who's not quite doing what we might like them to do and to say, well, they did that, so I'm going to do it myself. Let's not fall into that trap. Let's be people who are always seeking to follow the best examples that we can possibly find. Peter's letter tells us lots of things about what makes a good leader. Good leaders are self-controlled. They have control over what they are doing. They are alert. They know how easy it is to be pulled away from the Lord. Peter says, you know, your enemy, the devil, the accuser, the slanderer, because that's what the word devil means. Your enemy is out to destroy you. And I've discovered something this week about that word for destroy, is that it's actually a word that it's like a lion that is gobbling up its prey. Okay, so it's like the devil is waiting for his moment to pounce and he wants to jump on us and eat us up in one mouthful. Good leaders know that it's easy to be dragged away from God. They prioritize their relationship with God. They prioritize their relationship with his people. They prioritize loving their neighbor as they love themselves. They know that they are in a daily spiritual battle and they don't want to lose that battle. Now, the songs we've sung already this morning, I picked them quite deliberately to fit in with what we are thinking about today. We started off by singing, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." And that word shepherd is a great picture of what it means to be a leader. Peter says to these people, be shepherds of God's flock. The role of the shepherd is to take care. Earlier on in the letter, Peter describes Jesus as the shepherd and the overseer or the guardian of our souls. And those who lead in Jesus' name are to be shepherds. They are to tend people, take care for them, be on the lookout for them. And they are to be overseers or guardians of the church. They're watching out. They don't just think, well, I know the Lord and that's fine. They care deeply for other people in the church family. But I also picked that song for the last verse. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one. Because good leaders are aware of what the devil is trying to do. They're aware that the devil wants to destroy us. They are on the lookout for his moves. When they see something happening in the church, they think, whoa, something's not going so well here. They are brave enough to take action and to say, right, here's the intervention that we need to make now. That is the responsibility of leaders within the church. But they're not afraid of the evil one. They see the evil one, the slanderer, as a defeated enemy. And boy, the devil likes to slander the people of God. The devil likes to tell us that we're useless. The devil likes to point out that we are failures. Picked a song later on in the service this morning, which talks about when Satan tempts me to despair, when condemnation grips my heart. Because there are times, whether you're officially a leader or not, that there's something within you that's saying to you, you are not good enough to do this. Everybody who goes into leadership gets that feeling. But we say, well, we may not be good enough, but he is good enough. And there is a battle to be faced that God has called his church to win. And this is the battle that we win by loving Jesus. This is the battle that we win by loving each other with everything we've got. This is the battle that we win by loving our neighbor. So, in the words of the third song that we sang today, every morning when I wake, I'll be ready. I'll be ready. Got my armor for the day, trusting that God's going to lead us whether we go this way or that way, believing in the victory of God. Peter takes a long time in this letter to talk about what we might call spiritual warfare, this idea that the devil is behind so much that goes wrong in the world. And I think one of the reasons he does that is he wants us to be serious about it. So when he says it strongly. But he wants us also to know what we need to do to win that warfare. Some of it is prayer. Be self-controlled and alert, he says, so that you can pray. But he also wants to say that this battle is about the practical things that we have been talking about. A couple of weeks ago, we went through the various relationships in our lives and how we are to behave within them, husbands and wives and slaves and masters, as it was in those days, or work, and our relationship to the state as well. Peter says, this is how you win that spiritual battle in the life that you lead. So here are qualities that we are looking for in a church leader. Number one, we are looking for people who want to lead. Okay? We don't want people to become officially leaders in the church because they feel that they ought to. As Peter says in our Bible reading today, that's not a good motivation. Good leaders are those to say, there's stuff to be done here. There is a God to be glorified. There's a church to be built. There's a world to be won. And yes, I want to be part of that. They are people who believe in the victory of Jesus. They are people who say, we can stand together. And despite all our weaknesses as a church, despite all the things that can go wrong for us, we believe that we can win this together. Of course, Jesus, a long time before Peter wrote this letter, had a conversation with Peter. And he said to Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, I do, Lord. I do love you. Well, feed my sheep. And they had that conversation three times. We're looking for people who love Jesus. And out of that love for Jesus, they want to serve him. And can set an example to the church of what love looks like. We're looking for leaders who lead in practical service. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I've come that I can serve you. Jesus is the one who serves his disciples practically. And good leaders are those who give the example of leadership, like the people no names mentioned, but you can work it out probably. Like the people who said this morning, it's snowing, let's come round and clear the paths. See, it's people who think of that sort of thing that are going to make good leaders within the church family. It's the people who see things that are broken and want to repair them. It's the people who see people in the church in need and quietly get alongside them and try and help them. Leaders are people who know what it is to stand firm. And of course, Peter, who wrote this, knew that at one point in his life, he had not stood firm. So they're not perfect, but they are people who are able to get back up on their feet again and say, there is a battle to be won. We will stand in it. So right at the end of the letter, third last verse, I've written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Hold your ground. Don't get put off easily. Don't be somebody who starts questioning whether or not this is worth it every time there is a small problem. Leaders are people who are learning to trust in God. And as we've said several times as we've looked through this letter, the people who Peter is writing to are struggling because life is tough for them, because they are experiencing persecution. But Peter says to these folk, look, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He's bothered about you. So take your worries, take them in prayer and offer them to him. They don't have to dominate your life. Now, please, you know, sometimes I think Christians feel a bit guilty when they do worry. Please, let's not feel too guilty about that. Let's just say, okay, Lord, I'm worrying. Please help me to pass that one over to you. And Peter says to them in this Bible reading something like this. I think this is what he's getting at. He's saying, look, I saw the sufferings of Christ. You know, the person who wrote this letter was there when Jesus was killed. He said, I saw it. He said, I saw what he went through, but I'm also someone who knows about all the glory to be revealed. So trust him. Give your anxiety to him. Leaders lead in self-control. They don't get pushed here and there. They're not people who go out and get drunk. They're not people who stuff themselves with drugs or anything like that. They're people who know what the purpose of their life is and they focus upon it. Leaders know that they are in a spiritual battle. Oh, yes. The last verse of 1 Peter chapter 5. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Good leaders know how to bless other people. So later on, we have a leadership election and we are going to make a decision. Are we going to appoint somebody official as a leader within our church? And we do have a responsibility when we do this to say, is this the sort of person that we want to lead us? I have said in the past, when you get elected as a deacon, you get this badge. And this is the badge that you don't physically wear, but everybody can see it. And it's the badge that says, copy me. I've been authorized as an example within this church. So let's make that decision well today. Let's make it wisely. But also, let us say, no matter who you are today, I'm going to be an example. I'm going to set for this church a positive example of what it means to be a believer in Jesus. And the God of all grace, Peter writes, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. There it is again. Peter just cannot stop talking about this in this letter. Jesus is going to be revealed. There's going to be eternal glory. It's going to be incredible. After you've suffered a little while, he will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. And to him be the power forever and ever. Amen.